The following program is a dramatic reenactment. Certain events have been altered and names have been changed. The story you're about to see is based upon first-hand accounts of the actual events.
In 1972, American airmen are shot down in the midst of an enemy invasion. They land as 30,000 North Vietnamese troops descend upon South Vietnam. Rescue attempts by air end in tragedy. But one Navy SEAL refuses to leave three Americans behind enemy lines. In 1961, an elite team of special forces was created for covert operations on the sea, air, and land. Their missions have been kept secret for national security reasons. Who they are and what they do has remained shrouded in secrecy. Now, based on first-hand accounts of classified operations, these are the untold stories of the Navy SEALs. On April 2, 1972, a U.S. Air Force EB-66 escorted a squadron of B-52 bombers over the demilitarized zone between North and South Vietnam. The unarmed electronic warfare plane, call sign BAT-21, carried a crew of six. Their mission was to seek out enemy missile batteries before they could strike the bombers. BAT-21 detected an incoming surface-to-air missile.
Sam, right, 5 o'clock low, I repeat, Sam.
Let's take a look at it.
Sam, uplink, vicinity of DMZ, BAT-21.
Got it. It's tracking us.
Caution.
The pilot took evasive maneuvers.
Break right, police chaff and flares.
He broke hard right, hoping to fool the missile. The missile streaked past them.
Here comes number two, left, 7 o'clock low.
But another was on its way.
Breakaway, launch jet and flare.
This time, the missile hit home. The pilot struggled to control the damaged aircraft. Only one man was able to eject. Five others died instantly. Lieutenant Colonel Gene Hambleton survived. But the 53-year-old navigator landed behind enemy lines. A North Vietnamese patrol had spotted his chute. Hambleton's escape and evasion training took over. He could not allow himself to be captured. As an expert in U.S. missile strategy, his top secret clearance had given him access to sensitive information. Information vital to U.S. efforts in Vietnam. He had evaded capture for the moment. Hambleton used his survival radio to call in his position. He was 2 miles into enemy territory and surrounded by enemy troops.
Attention on deck.
Colonel Cecil Muirhead was the commander of the U.S. Joint Search and Rescue Center at Da Nang Air Base.
4721.
He quickly mounted an air rescue operation to pick up Hambleton.
327, 2 miles.
Retrieving the downed flyer by air was risky. But they had to get to Hambleton before the NVA did. The North Vietnamese Army, or NVA, had amassed a huge invasion force. 30,000 troops infiltrated the demilitarized zone separating North and South Vietnam. Hamilton was trapped. Above his position, American B-52s rained bombs on the attacking NVA forces. Two helicopters raced to Hamilton's position. They flew straight into an NVA anti-aircraft battery. One chopper crash landed. The crew survived, but the helicopter was a total loss. Another Huey was hit hard. Three of the four crew members were killed. One was taken prisoner. Muirhead had just lost four men and two helicopters in an effort to rescue one man. He suspended rescue missions for the night.
How many men? I said, how many men were in that Huey?
At 21. Hold your position till morning.
Hamilton was instructed to lay low until daybreak. An NVA listening post intercepted Hamilton's transmission. Colonel Tran, the commander of a North Vietnamese battalion, assessed the situation. Americans were known to rescue their own. He could use the downed pilot as bait to lure U.S. aircraft into the area. At dawn, Muirhead deployed two forward air controllers to get a visual fix on Hamilton's position. Lieutenant Mark Clark and Lieutenant Bruce Walker flew low and slow over the jungle. They finally spotted Hamilton in the brush.
Rock your wing so he's got a visual.
Rocking the wings.
Suddenly, a surface-to-air missile streaked from the tree line.
Break left!
Both men ejected. NVA troops searched the area where Clark went down. They came to within a few feet of his hiding place. Walker was just 100 yards away. Now Colonel Muirhead faced the challenge of rescuing not just one man, but three.
Three men missing.
What happened?
Well, sir, we don't know exactly the details right now, but...
Just keep me posted.
I'll call back as soon as I get more information, sir.
Right. Damn.
This time, the colonel ordered precision airstrikes to take out enemy air defenses around the downed flyers. It didn't help. The rescue choppers were pummeled with anti-aircraft fire. Six more Americans lost their lives in the attack. Hamilton saw the choppers go down. He was devastated. In 4 days, 9 Americans had died trying to save him. The intensity of the rescue effort tipped off Colonel Tran. Perhaps the airmen were important assets with valuable intelligence.
Yes, sir.
The Air Force shut down the rescue operation.
No, sir. I understand, sir.
Too many men had already died.
Thank you.
But Muirhead refused to give up. With 3 lives at stake, he had to figure out another way.
Give me Lieutenant Colonel Anderson.
Muirhead contacted Lieutenant Colonel Andy Anderson, the head of the Joint Personnel Recovery Center.
3272 miles.
Anderson was an expert in ground-based rescue operations. Anderson arrived in Da Nang to assemble a team of South Vietnamese Sea Commandos. For the dangerous rescue to succeed, he would need the best trained men available. Lieutenant Tom Norris, a U.S. Navy SEAL, had volunteered to lead the mission. By 1972, Norris was one of a handful of Navy SEALs still in country to train South Vietnamese commandos. Now, Norris and his team would take on a mission that had already cost 9 lives and a half dozen aircraft. For Gene Hamilton, Bruce Walker, and Mark Clark, Norris was their only hope.
Bail out! Bail out!
In 1972, 3 American airmen were shot down over Vietnam. They ejected safely, only to find themselves trapped in the middle of an enemy invasion.
How many men?
Lieutenant Colonel Gene Hamilton was the first to be shot down.
How many men were in that Huey?
Lieutenant Bruce Walker was shot down a day later with Lieutenant Mark Clark. All 3 airmen were now separated and trapped behind enemy lines. Every attempt to rescue them by air had ended in tragedy. 9 brave men had already lost their lives, and 1 man had been taken prisoner. Lieutenant Tom Norris, a U.S. Navy SEAL, volunteered to lead a daring ground rescue. With the help of Petty Officer Nguyen Van Keet, he assembled a team of South Vietnamese Sea Commandos. As Keith translated, Norris briefed the plan. All 3 airmen were 1 to 2 miles inside hostile territory. The team would have to slip past 30,000 enemy troops to get them out. They didn't have much time. The American flyers had spent a week in the jungle. With each passing day, their condition grew worse. Starving and dehydrated, Hamilton hid from enemy patrols and hoped he would make it home alive. Miles away, Clark searched for Walker. The NVA found Walker first. If Walker was taken prisoner, he would be interrogated and tortured. Like so many servicemen in his position, he risked death to avoid being captured. Lieutenant Clark could only watch in horror. There was nothing he could do. At the base in Da Nang, Anderson learned of Walker's death.
Gentlemen, we've lost Walker.
The news hardened Norris's resolve. The Navy SEAL was determined to rescue the remaining two airmen before they were captured or killed. Aerial reconnaissance revealed that the Cam Lo River provided a direct route west through the jungle. If they could just get the flyers into the river, they could get them out. The team could only pick up one man at a time. Although Hambleton was in worse shape, Clark was closer to the river. Circumstances forced them to choose Clark. They would have to take the risk and hope Hambleton could hang on. The mission would be coordinated from the air by a forward air controller. Captain Harold Ickey would relay communications between Anderson and his men on the ground. Like Clark and Walker before him, Ickey had to fly his OV-10 aircraft dangerously close to the ground and within reach of enemy fire. The forward air controller circled to get a fix on Clark's position. Since the NVA was eavesdropping on his radio signal, he relayed Clark's instructions in code.
Nail 3-8, this is Bilk 1-1. Do you copy?
Ickey based the code on things the pilot would recognize.
Bilk 11. This is Nail 38. Come in, over.
Listen carefully, Nail 3-8 Bravo. This is Bilk 1-1. When the moon goes over the mountain, I need you to become Esther Williams. Then, get in the snake. Go from Boise to Twin Falls.
At first, Clark was confused by the code. Then he put it together. Esther Williams was a famous Olympic swimmer and movie star. The snake was a river in Idaho, Clark's home state. Traveling from Boise to Twin Falls meant he was to travel east by river.
This is Nail 38.
Be out.
At nightfall, Navy SEAL Tom Norris and his team of Sea Commandos inserted south of Clark's position. They entered the jungle and began the dangerous trek to the rendezvous point. Lieutenant Colonel Andy Anderson would coordinate the mission at a command post near enemy lines. Hambleton was advised that Clark would be rescued first. He would have to hang on one more night. Norris and his team made their way to the Camlo River. The further they moved into NVA territory, the more enemy patrols they encountered. NVA soldiers passed within a few yards of Norris and the commandos. The team couldn't afford to engage the enemy. Any gunfire would compromise the mission. Listening post, a surveillance patrol briefed Colonel Tran. The American air rescue had abruptly stopped. Suspecting a ground rescue, Tran quickly changed his strategy. This time, he sent out hunter-killer teams to find the Americans. Trapped behind enemy lines, Hambleton watched the NVA deploy. The colonel was exhausted. He had been on the move for 9 days. He had no food. He had no weapons. But he did have a radio.
This is Bat 21 Bravo.
Hambleton called in airstrikes on the enemy's position.
Ready to copy?
An A-6 flying in the area responded to his request immediately. The fighter jet pounded the enemy invasion force with 500-pound Mark 82s. Norris and his men heard the bombardment from 2 miles away. Airstrikes distracted the enemy, allowing Clark to move to the river. NVA presence in his sector was heavy. He could see an advancing column of enemy troops. Half-mile downriver, Norris notified Anderson they had reached their rendezvous point. He requested illumination flares from U.S. warships floating off the coast. Norris and his men waited for Clark to drift into view. Minutes passed, but there was no sign of Clark. Norris began to worry he had been intercepted. Then he noticed movement on the water. It was Clark. The team moved in to intercept him. An NVA patrol cut them off. Norris watched helplessly as the current carried Clark away and toward the enemy patrol. A North Vietnamese Army invasion force of 30,000 soldiers was on the move into South Vietnam. Two downed airmen were stranded in the midst of the invasion. Lieutenant Colonel Gene Hamilton and Lieutenant Mark Clark had evaded capture for nearly 2 weeks. But the North Vietnamese were closing in. U.S. Navy SEAL Lieutenant Tom Norris led the mission to rescue both men. They had narrowly missed Lieutenant Mark Clark as he floated past them on the Cam Lo River. Clark was now traveling downstream toward an enemy patrol.
This is the chain gang, Major.
Norris could not contact Clark directly. He would have to relay instructions through Anderson at the outpost.
Get to the south side of the snake and hold. Then radio me your position.
Clark was told to hold his position and wait for the Navy SEAL to come to him. The fastest way for Norris to reach Clark was to go in alone.
Meet you back at the observation post.
He told Keep to take the team back to the outpost. Navy SEAL Tom Norris went into the river without backup. Anderson monitored the radio, awaiting Norris's call. In the pre-dawn hours of April 10, 1972, Lieutenant Tom Norris pulled Lieutenant Mark Clark out of the Cam Lo River. The two men made it back to the forward command outpost. Clark was immediately medevaced to Da Nang, where he was treated for exhaustion, dehydration, and exposure. Anderson and Norris, it was one rescue down and another to go. Now they would focus on getting Hamilton out. The ordeal was taking its toll on the 53-year-old Lieutenant Colonel. Ten days without food or water left him severely dehydrated. His condition was critical. Captain Ickey circled overhead and gave Hamilton directions to the river. Once again, he customized the code with a subject familiar to the officer. As an avid golfer, Hamilton knew the layout of several famous golf courses by heart.
Bat 2-1 Bravo, this is Bilk 1-1. Bat 2-1 Bravo, this is Bilk 1-1.
This is Bat 21 Bravo.
Bat 2-1, you are shooting 9 at Pebble Beach. You are on the third hole. I need you to move to the 8th hole. Don't putt until I tell you to. Then I need you to putt yourself right into the hazard.
Roger that. But I don't think I can putt into the hazard.
Bat 2-1, if anyone can do it, you can. Out.
Bat 21, out.
Hamilton had exhausted what little energy he had left. He was unsure he could make it to the river. The NVA continued to monitor the Americans' communications. Although they couldn't decipher the code, they were able to calculate the location of the forward command outpost. Mortars rained down on the outpost.
Get down and take cover!
With each volley, the explosions got closer and closer to the command bunker.
I told you two to get in your bunker and take cover!
The enemy was quickly zeroing in on their position.
This is the chain gang. We are under attack. Request immediate airstrike.
The only men who could save Colonel Hamilton were now under attack. Lieutenant Colonel Gene Hamilton was trapped behind enemy lines. Weak from hunger and dehydration, he had evaded North Vietnamese patrols for over a week. His rescue team was pinned down by enemy mortars. Navy SEAL Tom Norris called in an airstrike dangerously close to their position. Was swift and deadly. The enemy troops were decimated. But the NVA had accomplished their objective. The outpost sustained heavy damage. Several South Vietnamese Sea Commandos were killed. Lieutenant Colonel Andy Anderson, the mission commander, was seriously injured. The wounded were medevaced to Da Nang. Only two men emerged from the attack unharmed. Navy SEAL Tom Norris and Petty Officer Keat. There was no time to assemble another team. Hamilton wouldn't live that long. Norris and Keat went after him alone. They had to travel over 2 miles into enemy territory. Moving on foot wouldn't be fast enough if they wanted to get Hamilton out alive. The They found their solution in the rubble of a bombed-out fishing village. The only thing left intact was a sampan. The two commandos disguised themselves as fishermen. They quickly pushed off, moving towards Hambleton and into the heart of an enemy invasion. Hambleton's situation was desperate. After 10 days without food and water, he was disoriented and could barely walk. Captain Icky had no choice but to airdrop a survival kit, exposing Hambleton's position.
Where's that kid, Angel 3?
Bat 2-1 Bravo, I have your drop kit in sight. It's hung up in a tree about 50 yards from your position. Can you get to it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I can see it.
Hambleton headed for the survival kit. But an NVA patrol got there first. Norris and Keat made their way west on the Camlo River. They stayed alert for enemy troop movement along the banks. As they rounded a bend in the river, they passed an enemy gun emplacement. The NVA soldiers were asleep. The disguised commandos landed near Hambleton's last reported position. They combed the banks of the river, searching for the downed flyer. There was no sign of him. Norris and Keat widened their search. They finally found him. Hambleton was still alive, but barely. He had collapsed just 50 yards from a massive NVA encampment. The commandos hid him in the bottom of the sampan. With Hamilton on board, Norris and Keats set out. The current would make the return trip faster. But with dawn approaching, they would lose the cover of darkness.
Silk 1-1, we have cargo. We're moving out.
They passed the same gun emplacement. This time, the guards were awake. Their cover was blown. The rescuers were pinned down by enemy gunfire. U.S. Navy SEAL Lieutenant Tom Norris and South Vietnamese Sea Commando Nguyen Van Kiet journeyed into the heart of a North Vietnamese invasion force. Their mission, to rescue Lieutenant Colonel Gene Hamilton. The downed navigator had been hiding in the jungle for 10 days. When they finally reached him, he was barely alive. Getting him to safety would not be easy. As they ferried Hamilton in the bottom of a sampan, they came under attack. Norris lay down cover fire as Keat raced for shore. Every NVA soldier in the area was ordered to stop the sampan. The three men were trapped. Norris had no choice but to order airstrikes directly on his own position. A squadron of A-6s responded. As Norris waited for the bombardment, he could hear the NVA closing in on their position. Voices echoed on the water, making it impossible to pinpoint the location of the enemy. Norris and Keat needed that airstrike, and they needed it now. The U.S. Air Force responded with a surgical strike. At dawn, the commandos reached the last leg of their journey. With less than an hour to go, the light of day left them without cover. Airstrikes had wiped out the enemy gun emplacement. By now, every NVA soldier in the area had converged on the river. They were surrounded. U.S. desperately called for cover. A nearby A-1 Sandy dropped two M-47 smoke bombs directly over their position. The smoke built quickly, obscuring the river. A few minutes later, the sampan emerged from the mist.
Thank you, Roger that.
Norris and Keat had achieved the impossible. They had rescued Bat 21 Bravo and successfully ended one of the costliest search and rescue efforts in the history of the U.S. Armed Forces. On April 13, 1972, Lieutenant Colonel Gene Hambleton was medevaced to an Army hospital in Da Nang. At the age of 53, he had survived 11 days trapped in enemy territory. Grateful, Hambleton said it was a hell of a price to pay for one human life. For his heroic efforts, Petty Officer Nguyen Van Keet received the Navy Cross. He was the only South Vietnamese soldier to receive the medal. Lieutenant Tom Norris received the Medal of Honor, America's highest military decoration. For Lieutenant Norris, the mission was not an act of heroism. Braving danger to save fellow soldiers was his duty. Part of a job he was trained to do as a United States Navy SEAL.